Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. The big, big story of this week is no doubt the Oscar controversy with Will Smith and Chris Rock. What really happened there? When I'm watching that, I'm thinking, I want to hear from a journalist in the room that knows the industry, that can tell me what's happening. I literally tweeted that out moments after it happened. And the first person I thought of was Matt Bellany, who used to be with the Hollywood Reporters, now with Puck News. He was there. He was tweeting what was happening. He was giving behind-the-scenes stuff. He's like literally knows more about this story than anybody. He's our guest this week. A little later, we talk with Nathan Hochman, candidate for attorney general in California, Republican. And also after that, we'll talk with California's newest Supreme Court justice, Patricia Guerrero, the first Latina ever to sit on our state's highest court. But let's begin with the Oscars and Will Smith. By the end of the week, Will Smith announced that he's resigning from the Academy, but the Academy says more disciplinary action could be coming for him. So let's talk with Matt Bellany, and the first question for him is, what was it like in there? Matthew Bellany, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
That's unfortunately, I know a lot about this topic. It's not my favorite topic, but I do know a lot about it.
All right, so you're there. Take us inside the room, what it's like, because we all saw what it looked like on TV. What was it like in the room?
Well, we all thought it was a bit. I mean, these are two guys that have done comedic antics before on stage. It was only when Will Smith got back to his chair and had this look of fiery rage on his face and started screaming F-bombs. That is not typical Will Smith behavior. That is when the room went absolutely deathly quiet, pin drop quiet. Nobody could believe it. We started looking at each other like, is this really happening? And then it was very clear it was real.
And then during the commercial breaks, different actors came up to Will Smith, but so did his publicist. Talk to us about the sort of strategy that was going on during that time between when he made the slap and when he accepted his Oscar.
So backstage, there was a quick scramble to figure out what to do here. And the Academy has two leaders, the CEO, Don Hudson, the president, David Rubin. There are people from ABC there. There were also the producer of the show, Will Packer. They were communicating with Will Smith's publicist, and they basically said to him, the leaders of the Academy, we think he should leave. And that was not communicated directly to him. It was communicated to his publicist. The publicist then goes and starts talking to him in the commercial. And Will Smith, from every reporting that I've done this week, Will Smith says to her, I don't want to leave. I will think about it. So then she goes back. Meanwhile, Will Smith is getting hugs from people like Bradley Cooper, from Denzel Washington, from Nicole Kidman. People were supporting him while he was standing there and kind of trying to talk him down. And backstage, they were essentially saying, okay, what do we do with this? He doesn't want to leave. We want him to leave. And Will Packer, the producer of the show, came out and said, actually, Chris Rock doesn't want him to leave. That, from my reporting, was not true. Chris Rock never said that. All Chris Rock said was that he didn't want charges to be brought. He didn't want this to be a criminal matter. But the Academy leaders were sitting there saying, okay, we've got a guy who doesn't want to leave. We've got the producer saying we shouldn't kick him out. And we've got his publicist standing in front of us. All of a sudden, the clock starts ticking, 30 minutes go by, and his name is called. He's up on stage.
Well, we know that not everybody loved the fact that Will Smith stayed in the theater after the attack. Here's what Oscar co-host Wanda Sykes told Ellen DeGeneres.
For them to let him stay in that room and enjoy the rest of the show and accept his award, I was like, how gross is this? This is just the wrong message.
So now the question is, what's next for Will Smith? You have some new reporting from inside the Academy's discussions on this with some high-profile people, and it sounds like it's pretty chaotic.
Absolutely. It was a wild meeting on Wednesday. It was an emergency meeting. There's a 54-member board that governs the Academy, and it comes from all different branches, everyone from famous actors like Rita Wilson and Laura Dern and directors like Steven Spielberg and Ava DuVernay to people you've never heard of before in the visual effects and casting director branch and things like that. And they met, and it was very heated. They wanted answers. This was hugely embarrassing and angering to many Academy members who believe that Will Smith essentially hijacked the show and did innumerable damage to the Oscars brand with what he did. And now they have to figure out how to punish him. And I don't think they will take away his Oscar. I mean, Harvey Weinstein still has his Oscar and Roman Polanski has it. It's very difficult to physically take away the statue, but they will probably suspend him from any Academy activities, ban him from presenting at next year's show, which is the tradition in Hollywood, is that you come back and present. And I think they will make him ineligible for consideration for Oscars for next year, which would impact a film that he has coming out later this year called Emancipation.
Can you remember any cultural moment becoming this big, this emotional, this quickly, even from the last few decades?
No, I mean, this is certainly the wildest moment in the history of the Oscars. And I was there for the Moonlight La La Land mix-up where they announced the wrong Best Picture, which I thought was the high mark that could never be topped.
Let's talk for a moment about you and what you're working on. You co-founded this news site called Puck, which I really like, which I subscribe to. Can you give a real quick elevator pitch of what is Puck for some people that may not have heard of it?
Sure. It's a media site that caters to people who want the inside story of what's going on in the world. We have journalists who are experts in their field, and we're not covering every little headline that comes out. We are only focusing on the big stories that matter and giving you inside access in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, in Washington, in New York's finance world, the real power and influence centers of America. We're trying to give you access to those worlds. And it's a subscription site. It's not for everybody. But if you're interested in those worlds, we are the place to go into those worlds.
And Matthew Bellany's newest article is about Will Smith's enablers. So you can find that now on the Puck site. Matthew Bellany, great insight. Thank you so much. What a week for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Our thanks to Matt Bellany. Now our continuing coverage of the race to be the California Attorney General. This could be one of the closest and most interesting races in all of California, with the governor's race being largely uninteresting. You've got Rob Bonta, the current attorney general, who never ran statewide himself. He was appointed by Governor Newsom when Javier Becerra went to the Biden administration. Rob Bonta is a criminal justice reformer, a George Gascon endorser. You got Anne Marie Schubert, who was on our show recently. She's a Sacramento County District Attorney. She was the one who prosecuted the Golden State Killer. She's running as an independent. She used to be a Republican, says she's an independent now, says she didn't support Donald Trump. She's, you know, openly lesbian mom, who's kind of different than, you know, some previous thoughts in terms of what a prosecutor looks like. And she's been backed by a lot of different law enforcement organizations. And you also have in that race Nathan Hochman. He is a more traditional Republican who was appointed to the Bush administration by George W. Bush. He says the big issue is crime. And we get a sense of who he is, why he's running, what his big issues are, what he's passionate about in this interview for The Issue Is. Here's Nathan Hochman.
Nathan Hochman, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Great to be here, Alex. Thank you for inviting me.
For a lot of Californians, this is their first introduction to you. So can you tell us real briefly about your background? Sort of, who are you?
Certainly. A lifelong Californian, raised, grew up here in California, had the chance to go to Stanford Law School, then clerked for a federal judge, went right to the U.S. Attorney's Office, where I prosecuted narcotics traffickers, gang cases. I was the environmental crimes coordinator and went ahead and prosecuted air, land, and sea cases. Then I went to the defense world. My father was an attorney for 50 years, a Canadian immigrant. And I practiced as a defense lawyer until I got a call from President George W. Bush. And he asked if I would head up the U.S. Department of Justice's tax division as a U.S. Assistant Attorney General. I have a very understanding wife of over 29 years now and three young kids at the time. And I went ahead and went to Washington, D.C., and got to head up an a division of the Department of Justice with a $100 million budget, 350 lawyers doing tax cases across the nation. When I came back, I headed up the white-collar practice of two major international law firms, and along the way was the president of the L.A. City Ethics Commission.
That's it? I'm kidding. So you say that the main reason you entered this race is because of California's crime spree and the attorney general's handling of it. What is one specific tangible thing that you actually could get done in that job when it comes to crime?
Let me give you a perfect example. Recently, we had an LAPD officer get murdered by four gang members when he was off duty. The sheriff of LA County, Alex Villanueva, who's actually endorsed me, and the chief of police, Michael Moore of the LAPD, took that case not to the DA's office, which would be its natural home, but to the U.S. attorney's office, the feds, instead, because George Gascon has a blanket policy of not going ahead and filing gang enhancements and gun enhancements, which would have resulted in this case getting life without the possibility of parole. What I told Sheriff Villanueva that I would do on day one is if a case like that came up again, the California Attorney General can come in, in fact, has the constitutional duty to come in to any jurisdiction where a prosecutor is not doing his duty and take over that prosecution. I told him that we, if I was the Attorney General, would come in with the Attorney General's office and take over a prosecution like that if George Gascon refused to do it.
Of course, Anne-Marie Schubert, who was on our show, said literally the exact same thing about that case. Let's talk about the raw politics of this race. No Republican has won statewide in California since 2006. If I'm a voter who really wants to get Bonta out, doesn't Anne-Marie Schubert have a better chance of actually doing that? She's not running as a Republican. She's clearly broken with Donald Trump. What's your message to that person who says, whoever it is, I just want that out of there?
The only way to win this race is actually to have bipartisan support. I've raised over $1.6 million. 40% of that has come from Democrats and independents. I'm endorsed not only by Sheriff Villanueva, a Democrat, but by Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes, a Republican, by Steve Cooley, the former DA of Los Angeles, Republican, and the Democratic former DA of Los Angeles, Jackie Lacey. I have the chance to appeal to that hard middle. That's how I describe it. The hard middle of the, which I believe is the majority of California voters who are sick and tired, fed up and frustrated and afraid with the safety and security declines and the exploding violent and street crimes that they see throughout this state.
Let's talk about you, because you're here. One of your passion projects is the American Wheelchair Mission. Talk to us about that experience and how that shaped your worldview.
Certainly. So when my children were younger and they were looking for a project, we actually met the executive director of the American Wheelchair Project, Chris Lewis, who is actually Jerry Lewis's son. And he showed us the power of a wheelchair to transform people's lives. An ordinary wheelchair can actually transform lives in countries around the world. So my kids and I set out to raise money. You had to raise $42,000 in order to get a container of wheelchairs. So the kids were incredible. They did videos, car washes. They went to even family foundations to raise the money, and they did. And we delivered a container, 280 wheelchairs to Israel, 560 wheelchairs to South Africa, and another 280 wheelchairs to Vietnam and Ecuador, as well as even locally in Los Angeles. And then the last delivery was in West Virginia. So it was truly a transformative event for my entire family.
We play a game on this show called Personal Issues. This is the fun part. 30 seconds, rapid fire questions to get to know some of your favorites. All right, you ready to go?
Certainly.
Okay, what is your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show, probably The West Wing.
Ah, mine too. Favorite band or musical artist?
Gotta go with Elton John, probably Bruno Mars, and well, Springsteen, of course.
Okay, so a big Springsteen guy here too. Favorite book?
Favorite book? Actually, I read a recent book, Michael Schellenberger's San Francisco, that was very eye-opening.
He's running for governor. Chris Rock or Will Smith?
I'm going with Chris Rock. Not only did he keep his poise when something happened on stage, but you know I've had a chance to meet him over the years, and he's a very solid guy.
And last question, with baseball coming back next week, Dodgers or Giants?
lifelong Dodgers fan, although for all the people in San Francisco, if the Dodgers aren't part of it, I'm a Giants fan.
Okay, there you go. That's how you run for office in California. Nathan Hochman, thank you for joining us, and good luck to you on the campaign trail.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Our thanks to Nathan Hochman. We end this week with some history. This week, Patricia Guerrero became the first Latina ever appointed to the California Supreme Court when Governor Gavin Newsom swore her in. It was a very proud moment for her and her family. And here she is to tell her story.
Justice Guerrero, welcome to The Issue Is for the very first time, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So what does that moment mean to you?
Well, it means so much to me. It was an honor to be sworn in this week by Governor Newsom, especially given that I was surrounded by so many people who have supported me and who I love dearly. It was a very special moment and one that I will always treasure.
Yeah, and there are some of those people that you love dearly, of course, your family as well. You've got quite the backstory. The governor's team put out a video when you were nominated, where you talk about your family's history. Let's take a look at that.
They grew up in a small town in Sonora, Mexico. It's called Yecora. My grandfather was able to get a sponsor so that he could have his lawful permanent residence in the United States. And he ended up going to the Imperial Valley. My father, when he first came to the United States, he was working in the fields, picking crops. But as soon as they put him on a horse, they quickly realized that he's just a natural. My mom passed away recently from a struggle with breast cancer. She impressed the importance of reading and education, telling us that there were really no limitations in terms of what we could accomplish.
What do you think is the most important lesson you learned from your family?
So many. I'm blessed with a wonderful family, and my parents, taught us the importance of hard work and also the importance of helping others, and in particular those who are less fortunate. They did that through their own examples, and I tried to emulate just a little bit of what they taught me.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about the court itself. The sad truth is not a lot of Californians know what you all do. I know you can't comment on the specifics of the cases themselves. That would be prejudicial. But what are some of the big issues that are upcoming at the California Supreme Court, and why should people care about the work that you do?
Well, I feel strongly in an independent judiciary, and it's part of our system of government. I do think, as you mentioned, to the extent that people aren't familiar with what we do, it's important for us to do outreach and be sure that people are educated in the important issues. We address the most complex issues where there's a conflict in the Court of Appeals, or there are important issues of first impression for us to resolve.
Some of your hearings are actually on camera, unlike the U.S. Supreme Court, so people can watch what you do, unlike the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's talk a little bit more, though, about you. Here's how you wrapped up your introductory press conference.
I hope that my story and the story of my parents will serve as an example of that. And I hope that it will inspire others, just as I have been inspired by so many people in this room.
And what do you hope people will be inspired by? What do you want people to learn from you?
Well, I hope to be able to serve as a role model for other people so that they can see with hard work, perseverance, and opportunities that they too can achieve their dreams. And it doesn't have to be in the legal field, but I hope that when they look at me and other members of our court, they can see somebody that they can relate to, and hopefully I can inspire others as well.
And what's your message to that little Latina girl that may be now considering the law?
Well, I actually have been fortunate to have some words shared with me that have inspired me from Justice Sotomayor. And I would just like to echo her comments. And that is just really to follow your dreams and to be true to who you are, and also to rely on others in times of uncertainty, rely on those who have grounded you and who have inspired you, and to never give up on your dreams.
Of course, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, the first Latina on the United States Supreme Court, and Justice Patricia Guerrero, the first Latina on the California Supreme Court. Thanks so much for coming on The Issue Is, and best of luck to you in the new job.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Patricia Guerrero, to Nathan Hochman, and to Matt Bellany. And our thanks to you for listening. Next week, a treat, Matt Friend, the impressionist who is just brilliant, will be with us in studio to share some new impressions. You gotta watch that or listen to it here on the Issue Is podcast. We hope that you'll share your perspective on what you think on all this stuff, and we'll connect with me in social media at Alex Michelson. That's Alex with an E. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.